Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
In other words, you could take anything from Daniel, even his very life, but he would never give up his obedience to God. He purposed in his heart.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmscher, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our special guest speaker on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor F.G. Holmscher shares the 10th of our 12 marks of a difference maker, found in the book of James, as he helps us to realize the importance of being patient with people. Today's message is called 5 Reasons to Pray for Patience.
You know, there's some things that if you walk along in your Christian life long enough, you just know not to do. There's a couple things that you know not to do in your Christian life. One of them is to never tell God what? No or never, right? You just don't do that. There's another thing you don't do, and maybe some of you are thinking about it right now. Maybe it's in your mind. You don't pray for patience. No. You see, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good. I'm going to pray for patience because I need patience. I'm an impatient person. I need to be patient with people. And so you pray for patience, and what does the Lord give you? Many, 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 too many opportunities to work on your patience. So those of you who have walked down this road a little ways before and you've prayed for patience and felt the wind of opportunities, you just know, okay, I'm not going to go there anymore. I am here to be the bearer of what seems like bad news, but will in the end, I believe, work out to the best for you. I'm here to tell you that the next mark of a difference maker on our list is patience with people. You see, we've made it through James chapter 4, 13 through 17. Remember Pastor's metaphor? James is the coach on the sideline. He's not the teacher. He's not the teacher in the classroom. He's the coach on the sideline, reminding you of what you should know or already do know, and it's a tense moment, and we tend to just do things like we've always done them when we're in a tense situation, and James is saying, no, remember. And his encouragement to us in James chapter 5 is to be patient with people. James starts out with a scalding reprimand of the rich. Now, we know that it's not wrong to have this world's riches. What is wrong is using the world's riches for things that are against God. In verse 7, he comes, he kind of changes. It's almost as if he's been addressing this group. He says, you rich people, you're doing wrong, and you're treating others wrongly. And then it's almost like he turns his head and he says, be patient therefore, brethren. So what is he saying? He's saying to those who are not the rich. He's saying to those who are not these people who are using others for the sake of personal gain. He's talking to the people who are being used. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Why should we seek and why should we apply and why should we look to have patience with people? James said the first reason is because the stakes are so high. The stakes are so high. You see the illustration there he uses? He jumps right into the illustration of the husbandman or the farmer. And he says, the farmer plants the seed, and because of the preciousness of the fruit, he's long-suffering. Not only is it just a waiting, it's a sticking through the troubles because of the preciousness of the fruit on the other end. So he patiently endures whatever nature brings to him, and whatever the trial that comes, he patiently endures it because he knows the harvest is coming and it's worth it. What is it that we're after? What is it that we are waiting to see? What is it that we're planting and longing and hoping to see the fruit of at another time? You see, Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about for you, brothers and sisters, but it's that moment. It's that moment when I stand before my Savior. I long and I press and I pray and I hope and I make decisions so that one day I might hear, you know the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's, you say, well, that sounds kind of selfish. You want somebody to think you're a good guy. No. No, it's more than that. It's not just to hear well done for me. Because if I hear well done, what does that mean for him, my Savior, my God, my Creator? What does it mean? It means he is well pleased. What is our created purpose? It's to bring him pleasure. And if we get to the end of our life and we hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, then we will have brought him pleasure and we will have fulfilled our created purpose. You see, the stakes are so high, it resonates, it goes all the way down. Our patience with people affects our eternal created purpose. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7, verse 15 and verse 17. What is it, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels? It's the opportunity we have to please him and draw attention and glory to him and his greatness. Boy, those are some high stakes. We're talking about not just my created purpose, but we're talking about the very glory of God. Wow. See, James here is the coach. He doesn't have time to explain all this all over again. He says, be patient. Remember the harvest, what it's worth it. Get back in there and be patient. You see, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 reminds us, brothers and sisters, to faint not, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you looking forward to that day? Did you play the end game? Did you go to the end and say, based upon the end of where I want to be, at the end of time, at the end of my life, I'm making these decisions? You see, the stakes are high. But not only that, number two, the time is so short. We should pray for patience because the stakes are so high. And number two, we should pray for patience and we should seek after patience and we should apply patience with people because the time is so short. If you'll notice here in this passage, verses 7, verses 8, and verses 9 all have reference to the coming of Christ. He says in verse 7, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Verse 8, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's getting closer. Verse 9, behold, the judge standeth before the door. But you know what? The scripture is very clear. It could happen at any moment. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, this is our blessed hope. In fact, we are to share this truth with everybody according to 1 Thessalonians. Because this is our comfort. Why is it our comfort? Our comfort is because we get to be in the presence of the Savior. We leave these earthly sinful bodies behind. We leave the presence of sin behind, and we are forever with him in heaven. I can't wait. Is that exciting to you? James says, be patient with your brothers and sisters because it could be today. And the last thing you want to do before you meet the Savior is to get all torqued at a brother or sister. It's not worth it when you consider you could meet him today. Oh man, James is putting us on the edge of our seats. He says, live as if today was your last. You know, all this drug-resistant TB, I think it is, and I read drug-resistant HIV and the wars, and Jimmy DeYoung is saying, you know, just things like in the Middle East, things aren't shaping up for peace. It seems like they're shaping up for more war, and that's exactly what the Bible says. The next event on the calendar is the coming of our Savior. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you excited about that day? It should be an exciting day. And it will be if we're living in light of that day. If we realize the stakes are so high, it's his glory that's on the line. And we realize that time is so short, it could be today. But you know what? Hidden in verse 8 there is an important command. Because the coming of the Lord may not be a comfort to you as it should be, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:18, if you haven't done this. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Plant them. Make the decision right now. Settle it forever. I don't really know how to get it across other than and to take you to a Bible example. I love the character of Daniel. And if you wanted a person to start to look into, maybe a biographical study, maybe you should pick up the book of Daniel and read through his life. I believe the key to Daniel's life is Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Where as a young man, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And I love that phrase, purposed in his heart. I like to think of it this way. I don't know if it's the right way to think of it, but I like to think of it this way. It was at that moment, Daniel became, in his very heart of hearts, obedient to God. In other words, you could take anything from Daniel, even his very life, but he would never give up his obedience to God. He purposed in his heart. I believe that's the same idea here in this passage. Establish your hearts. Make it a part of you, to where nothing and nobody can ever rip that away from you. Establish your heart. Settle it right now, before the time even comes, before you ever get there, that you will. You have already decided that the end of my life will be hearing the well done. That's a non-negotiable. Either I die doing that, or I get there and live a long life and I've been obedient to that call. I will not give that up. That is a part of me. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel purposed in his heart to honor God above all. It came as a point of absolute decision to him. This is not just I think I'll try this for this year. This becomes a part of you. Establish your hearts. Because another reason to go after patience is because the alternative is so sorrowful. So the first one is the stakes are so high, you should treasure the eternal. And number two, the time is so short, resolve your will. And number three, verse number nine, you should follow after patience. You should pray for patience. We as a body should display patience to one another because the alternative is so sorrowful. And this verse here is where we get patient with people because it says, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Grumble not, grudge not. If you look in different translations, there's different words. This word grudge in our current vernacular means I shouldn't hold anything against another person. But you know what? Whenever we're trying to squirm our ways out of sin, we can play all kinds of mental games with ourselves, can't we? I can be disappointed by a brother or sister, and I can go, but I forgive him. And I really don't forgive him, but I try to just put it away. I'm not holding a grudge because, you know, I'm looking over it. But inside I remember, yeah, they're like this. Yeah, I know them. I remember it. It's still there. You see, James takes us beyond this mental, I am holding a grudge against so-and-so. For me, at least, that's what that word leads me to. James says, he uses a word here in Greek that doesn't have anything to do really with even uttering a word. It's a sigh. It's a grunt. That simple. Don't even. It's an internal matter of the heart. Even if it never makes it to words, even if it never makes it to words here, if it comes out as a, that's it. You have just broken James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another. What does it mean? It means this is a seed of bitterness. And Hebrews 12 tells us very clearly, do not allow the seed of bitterness to be planted in your heart because it may spring up a root of bitterness and by that many be defiled. And when many are defiled, the glory of God is lost.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmsher, the assistant pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker today for Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.